So I would invite Damosada start with the Sinhala version, and accordingly we will give the Pali and the other support.
Asrai Swaminasa.
Yes.
Sanyukta Nikaya.
Sorry, now Venerable Dhamma Ramita. What? Lankara.
Dhamma Lankara.
Dhamma Lankara will give the Sinhala version first, and then Venerable Damosada will follow it up.
අවසරයි ස්වාමීන් වහන්ස සංයුත නිකායේ පළමුණු පොත් වහන්සේ සඝාතන වග්ගය 24 වෙනි සූත්‍රය මනෝ නිවාරණ සුත්තං සාවත්තියං ඒකමන්තං තිතාකෝසා දේවතා භගවතෝ සාන්තිකේ ඉමං ගාතං අභාසි යතෝ යතෝ මනෝ නිවාරයේ න දුක්ඛමේති නං තතෝ තතෝ ස සබ්බතෝ මනෝ නිවාරයේ ස සබ්බතෝ දුක්ඛා පමුච්ච තීති මනෝ නිවාරණ සූත්‍රය සවැත් නුවර එකත් පසක සිටි ඒ දෙවිතමේ භාග්‍යවතුන් වහන්සේ සමීපෙහි මේ ගාථාව කිය යමකින් යමකින් සිත වලකන්නේද එයින් එයින් ඔහුට දුක් නොපැමිණෙයි හෙතෙමේ සියල්ලෙන් සිත වලකන්නේ නම් හෙතෙමේ සියලු දුකෙන් මිදෙයි භගවා න සබ්බතෝ මනෝ නිවාරයේ මනෝ යතත් මාගතං යතෝ යතෝච පාපකං තතෝ තතෝ මනෝ නිවාර යේති භගවතු සියල්ලෙන් සිත නොවලකන්නේය සන්නිත භාවයට පැමිණි සිත නොවලකන්නේය යමකින් යමකින් අකුසල් වේ නම් එයින් එයින් සිත වලකන්නේයයි
අවසයි ස්වාමීන් වහන්සේ This is the English version. I decided to pick the translation by one Because Sujato. Because in my opinion, I think his wording is simpler. And the first verse, whatever you are shielded, whatever you've shielded in the mind. Sorry, I'll take that again. Whatever you've shielded the mind from can't cause you suffering. So you should shield the mind from everything. Then you're freed from suffering. This is what the Deva said. And the Buddha responded, You shouldn't shield the mind from everything. When the mind is under control, you need only shield the mind from where the bad things come. That's the end of the sutta.
So the Nivaraye is the word translated as the shielding, blocking and protecting. So that protection is mind-made or it's a... made by your spiritual master, or is it a common thing for all the humanity? Many religious people take according to the spiritual master. That is called moral restraint and moral fear. So that is the what present day education says, don't follow spiritual masters. You learn and then you will get your job, you will get the qualification, but they are undermining your moral shame and the moral fear. That's a present-day conspiracy in the education that is called hidden curriculum. So it's done research and shows whatever you learn, you will develop arrogance. You will develop fighting, all the kind of thing. Because by attending the schools and classrooms, gradually they are eroding your moral shame and the moral fear. Restraint. The Buddha explained three restraints. Moral restraint, mental restraint, and wisdom restraint. So this is rather, the first question is restraint as a one unit thing, restraint from everything. This is called absolutism. Restraint, then mind will start ruining. Mind will die off, die down. One person did the research, you know, when the puppies, cats and the dogs, when they are born blind, 7 days time they are opening their eyes. They put two groups, one thing, let them grow in the dark place, otherwise, other group grow in the light, under the light. And the eyed puppies see the lights, see the movements, everything, and their brain development is 40% faster than puppies opening their eyes on the dark clouds, darkness. So therefore, without visual objects, the audio gyrus will never develop. It needs impingements. So impingements are bad. Whatever you see, you are learning the outside things and kind of things. You can say that the mother bitch is bad compared to the puppies. So she has seen many things and she's a bitch. She's a son of a bitch. SOB. But better. But without light, without seeing, brain development 40% hampered. So therefore, impingements are good. So therefore, restraining people, that is called self-mortification people, control everything. And they think Buddha will appreciate it much better because he is such a restraining person, constraining everything. But the Buddha is not restraining only from the sila, morality, not the concentration, but furtherance, wisdom. Wisdom restraint is no restraint. After doing the sila restraint, moral restraint and the concentration restraint, when you go to the vipassana, you completely open this thing and see without your involvement is restraining part of the brain is inbuilt or still you need manipulations. That's a part very difficult to do. So it's a very good opportunity to raise this kind of a question, restraining from everything. But this is very well explained in the 152nd Sutta in the Majjhima Nikaya, India Sangvara Sutta. Restraining of faculties. I will take a few minutes to just to give the briefing, the gist of it. A discussion is happening like that, live discussion in the presence of the Buddha, and one person of another teacher come and he is behaving like a dog, just sitting on the ground and just curling, and that's their spiritual restraint. Come and sit in the discussion, and everyone knows he is a sunaka vruta, dog habituation. And the Buddhist monks and the other devotees are looking down. But the Buddha is not that. But the Buddha never do that. He is asking that, are you a disciple of whom? And he says, this is my master. Do they or do you get the instructions to restrain things from your master? Of course, yes. Of course, yes. Then would you mind to share with me the kind of restraint you have? Then he says, my master says, all the visual things are filthy, so therefore don't look at it. Restrain your eye. All the hearing things are filthy, I mean defiling, so therefore best thing is to don't listen to them. Smell, taste, touch and thinking, so therefore I keep in a such a way, don't look at things, do not hear something, no smelling, no tasting, no touching, not thinking. Thinking part is very difficult to close. And that is what it's telling. Then the Buddha says, if your master is correct, if your restraint is leading, the born blinds must be enlightened then. I mean, they can't see it. And the born deaf people must be enlightened. And the people who can't talk, dumb people, must be enlightened because they can't do any false speech, harsh speech, nothing. And cleaning the body by bathing, then the crocodiles and the snakes, water snakes, must be pure. Because they are born in the water, they are living in water. That is not the way. And then Buddha never gave the answer, but the Buddha says, Kadahachi karahachi loke upadhachi tatagato samma sambuddho. So under these blind kind of believers occasionally omniscient one arises. Omniscient one also prescribes some restraints. He stops it. He never go further. Whenever Ananda come forward and adjust his robe, pay respect, Bhante, please, please, please. Out of compassion. Please let us know what is the your or omniscience knowledge. Then he says, moral restraint, concentration restraint, wisdom restraint. And it is appear like a joke. Restraining from everything, if he is going to clean yourself, before your birth, you must be enlightened. Because you have not seen, no smelling, no tasting, no. Why should we have the ascetic practices after becoming filthy? If the restraint is everything, no. Restrain moral shame and the moral fear. What is the morality? What is the ethical acceptance? If it is not ethical, restrain. Otherwise, you will get hammered by the people. You will be put into jail. Because you are violating, transgressing the normal norm, the moral norms, ethical. So that is called transgression. The first kind of defilement is called transgressional defilement, vyatikrama bhumi. Don't kill. Don't rob. Don't have a sexual misconduct. No lying, no slandering, no harsh words, no tale bearing. Then you are pure. No one can find fault with you. That is the benefit of the moral restraint. But that never touch of the restraining or restrain of your mind or the concentration. Upon that, there is another dhyana bhavana, samatha bhavana, focusing upon one particular object. Then only you can gain the results of moral restraint and measure your concentration level. That is what you call spirituality. But even if you restrain your concentration, Chittanupassana, the mindset, your wisdom restraint is still remaining. So therefore, if the mind is telling, the defiled mind I am telling, this is the restraint you must do, it is a prescription from the defiled mind. Whatever you do, you are satisfying your cunning mind. You may be very utterly restraining against the self-mortification. Oh, the cunning mind will say, no, restraining won't help. Indulge your senses, sensuous pleasure or sexual pleasure. That's also mind-made. No harm, both are wrong. Attakilamatana yoga, kamasukallikana yoga, the very first word the Buddha uttered after the enlightenment, dve me bhikkave anta pabbajitena na sevitabba. Oh, monks, this is the mendicant should not indulge two things, self-mortification, self-indulgence, sensual self-indulgence. So today the politicians and economists and the communists and the capital, everyone is self-indulgence, utter indulgence, filthy. It's a defiled thing. And we have first world world, third world world and developed world, all the kind of thing, criterion decided by capitalists. Alternative was the communist. Communism cannot work unless otherwise the whole world become communist. it's a building block. So they came to liberalism. And Sri Lankan leaders sometimes say, many people think the liberalism is Western idea. No, it's a Buddhist idea. Renounce from the world. Go to the forest and sit under a tree, liberal. And then go to a primary object, you are liberal, liberty, liberated, because there are no other defilements, I mean, not the transgressional, even the obsessional defilements. So therefore, we are more advanced than liberalistic idea or capitalistic idea or communist idea. But he says, to a certain extent, society and the government can do some kind of culturing and restraining and morality, but furtherance is individual question. It is not a government question. It is not a community question. You have to decide. That is what you call wisdom training. There you go against the society. That's why we call against the grain. So we people are called, we are against the society. I mean going cross current. So we are silent revolutionist. We are silent radical people. One man army. So Buddha save us, protect us by the second verse. Don't restrain from everything, restrain from ethically wrong things, morally wrong things. So when that is not there, if the mind is taking primary object and meditating or mindful, don't restrain from there. It is you have to liberally, you have to prolific, you have to practice, not restrain. But that is not the final. And after that, when you gain certain of the concentration and the jhanic experience, get rid of that also. Then only, still not you are not enlightened, then only you can see 1/2 of the game is now successful. But don't be proud. Don't be arrogant. Don't be selfish. Don't self-aggrandization. Just be a normal citizen, John. Most difficult thing. That's the most difficult thing because you can see other foolish fellows are doing A to Z fool. So without being with them, we can't be love our mothers and parents. We can't love our teachers. We can't love our, the top class people. Utter fools. Utter fools. But we must restrain. We must restrain. We respect only that mind restrained. But usually we like monkey mind. Rather than the restrained mind. Restrained mind is very, not very dramatic, very lethargic, very boring, very monotonous. Nothing to throw a party. Nothing to be hilarious. So we are giving a such a example. We are sustaining it. And I would say we are successful. We are successful. So therefore, Buddha is addressing and making room for us, while others are telling restraint from everything. Be careful about them. They are politicians. They are making economic formulas. They are making social utopia. Boy, boru. I just call false by. So therefore, we have done a great job so far. I mean, individually. Don't share with others. Mind your business. Take the flag. Advance. So I hope a good time to start the open discussion. We have about 30 minutes.
Asai Swamin Wahanse. From this discussion, I am reminded of a film about the Buddha that I watched. I watched a few years ago, and it described the temperament of a Buddha, that he just dwells with an open mind. He's not in a trance, like concentrated or anything. His mind is just open, not focused on anything at all. And in that way, there's nothing that can touch him. There are no defilements that can touch him. He cannot be soiled by any wrongdoings. So that's just one comment. And now I have a question about yogis. When yogis start meditating, they are usually advised to act as if they are deaf or blind. And I suppose this is only because they need this kind of restraint to begin their practice. And when the yogi becomes more mature, through seeing that sense objects are not worth adhering to or not worth clinging to, then that is when acting blind or acting deaf, that is the correct way of seeing it, not through blocking things out or avoiding things. It is through seeing that all mental and physical phenomena are impermanent, then they gain that understanding that, you know, even looking at something, it will never bring any satisfaction. Hearing, smelling, etc., they will never bring any satisfaction.
Yeah, for the first statement, the concentration, trance, and the hypnotism, drugs, and everything, people try to introvert and be concentrated. Marijuana and the ganja and all the kind of thing. There's a huge wave in the West. People are behind so much of drugs. And ultimately they went to the hippies, just sleeping on the bus stand and having only one cloth and traveling everywhere. In that sense only, Mahashiva Mahayogi, Maharishi from India, came with the Transcendental Meditation, TM. Have you heard about Transcendental Meditation? When we were in the universities, it was at the peak. Our batch top was TM person. Early morning, 15 minutes, he is doing TM and then read the book and it's a photostat memory. He became the batch top. So many there were. And there's one Robertson. He was the chief advisor, brain specialist. And he just wanted to see that particular mantra. They give a small piece of mantra. You have to recite it 15 minutes, then the mind becomes completely calmed down. And then you can direct into the studies, or badminton, or hockey, or golf, or whatever may be. There's a fairly, mobilized mind. And he tried the mantra, he tried cocaine, he tried everything. And he found, if you believe mantra is correct, you will get the success. If you believe cocaine is the answer, you will get it. If you believe the drinking water is the answer, why not? If you think drinking alcohol is the answer, why not? So he found your acceptance, your prepared mind, your being prepared for this, then effect is there. So it became the dwindling down, die down system of the Transcendental Meditation. That book is called Relaxation Response by Robertson, if I am correct. And 3 million books went like the bestseller. And he says your placebo effect is the most important thing. If you believe mantra is good, mantra good. If your doctor is good, it's good. So therefore, mind made. Manopubbangava. So it's well fit into the mindfulness. Nothing but believing mindfulness. So omniscient, omnipotent, you are the creator. So when I go to Connecticut University for mindfulness for Earth, I am such a fool going to America for 3 days conference. And there was one team, still from India. They said they are doing very well and they are establishing so much of kind of thing. And they distributed a book also. Book was circulating. Only 30 people, no Zoom. And in the discussion, I immediately remember the Mahashiva Mahayogi. And his research person is Robertson. He says everything is mind. And he gave the name placebo effect. Based upon that, another book came, placebo, for diseases, for habituation, for spirituality, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, whatever may be, or you are in rock music or jazz music, whatever may be, what you believe, it's liberating you. So I got the book and went to the back page and see whether the term of placebo is in the book. The last, you have the term, technical terms, it was there. I got the page and it read something relevant to that. Then I told you all are doing this kind of a thing. And they say, for an example, there are some places, small water bodies, lakes and kind of thing, and people are fishing. So they are disturbing the food chain. And they wanted to stop it. So what they did was, they went to the river Ganges and got pure water, so-called Shuddha Jale. And told in a big ceremony, now you are going to put the holy water into this one. Now onward, no fishing. Then you will get cursed by God. Stop. Fairly stop. This is the, we are doing that kind of a thing. So that is how we going to give the cooling of the earth and the some kind of spiritual work. So I know these are camouflaged. So then I ask this, have you heard about the placebo effect? Some people, they themselves have read the book, then says yes. Then if the placebo effect is the main thing, whatever the mind play games, it are mind games. It's a mantra, or it is addiction, or with the gambling, or with the womanizing, whatever it may be. When you are doing, you get thrills and thrills. Ultimately, mano pubbangama dhamma, mano setta mano mea. Mind is the forerunner, mind is the leader, ultimately mind made. They are not happy. The Buddha gave the formula for everything. Everything. Whatever the theory, they are partial theories. So they are for restraints, but not from everything. First, moral restraint. Second, concentration restraint. Last, and the intrinsic to Buddhism is wisdom restraint. You are not restraining yourself. Let the mind to naturally select the morality, naturally select the pure land, naturally select the undisturbing, not violating, not the polluting mind. That never happen, it's an intrinsic nature of the mind, but never happen without the moral and concentration restraint. But after that moral and concentration, let the mind to play, send kites, play liberal. And if the first two restraints are natural, the third one must happen in effortlessly. You are no more. You can't claim this is my restraint. You can't claim that benefits are mine. You can't claim other person is fail, I am successful. No. Because it is happening automatically. So now it is called autopiloting mode. And it is, to the present day dramatic world, it is negative, it is non-productive, and it is like not well accepted. So only elderly people can understand. They can't do anything now. Their time has gone. So best thing is to behave like a sage or like beard with the, and old people, they can prescribe. But the younger generation never listen. So that is why moral restraint and the concentration restraint, these are very difficult for the younger generation. Very difficult to the Anglican church or the American church to do. They are promoting it rather than restraining. So ultimately they are talking about the mindfulness and the insight meditation. That's called business Buddhism. But restraint is there, but it is not the total restraint. That is the other one, the Buddha's this thing is the liberal mind. It is not the after the practice. The liberal mind is a mindset to understand I am already liberated. Are you believing that part or are you being unrestrained, unruly mind of your own? So when a Buddha was bodhisattva, he has the mixture. But when he is practicing, he found that the liberal mind is my at-home situation. This filthy mind is something extraordinary or external. I am believing that and regretting all the time. People are with depression. People are with the tension. But the Buddha, to be as a bodhisattva in the last life, he believed his mind rather than the creator God, rather than the Mara, rather than the rivalries. He believed, I am there, live up to that. That is called livelihood. Your livelihood, your samma ajiva. So many people are doing wrong ajivas today. For the maintenance of the life, they are doing all the filthy things. They just justify it. The Buddha found begging is the best way of life. Go and ask people to give something. They may be earning from the wrong ways, but you are believing depending on the alms foods, and that's the most pure life. But the world says you are a beggar. Singapore, if you do it, will be arrested. America, you can't do it. You can just put a board, homeless. You can't beg. If it is so, you will be catch. In Florida, it's a big problem. The Florida climate is middle, not very cold, not very hot. So people are coming there and have a supermarket cart and living near a red lights or near the traffic light and just wait. But Japan, no. Even the old person, they have their own entrepreneurship. They collect something and do something. Singapore also try to find, there's no begging. Therefore, even in India, begging is no more. So that is how this mind change and the culture is changing us not to be humble. So therefore, this open-mindedness is a mindset of the Bodhisattva. It's a unique. Then achievement is possible. If you don't believe that you have such a pure mind or all bright pure mind, you can't achieve it. If you see my mind is always filthy and this and that, so you are self-curse. That's what called the depression and the tension. Ultimately it goes to the hysteric level. So Sigmund Freud used to say, if you can't bear up with the day-to-day unsatisfactoriness, definitely you are leading to hysteric level of trauma. Bear, put up with that, the present-day unsatisfactoriness. That's even common to the Buddha or the king and everyone. So if you find a way out from that, ultimately you will end up with the asylum. You will get mad. So in sitting meditation, walking meditation, we feel restraint, we feel difficulties, but it is known one, bearable one, and as far as we are there, we call ascetics. We are yogis. Don't complain, because that much you can bear. Bear it up. But today, the school generation and then the university generation, they can't bear it up, even the little depression, little tension, they commit suicide. They call him suicide. They think it is not done because I am such a bright person. How the depression can come? How the unsatisfaction, friction can come? With their parents given such a utopia in their mind, education, they commit suicide. But never aboriginals, never animals, they never commit suicide, never. They don't know. It's only happening for the education curve. So the Buddha, to be Buddha, he has this open mind, no one can infest it. No one can, infiltrate. So it is, we are also born with that. Believe it, and then we have little Buddha inside. We have a Devadatta also. You know Devadatta? Don't believe Devadatta. Maybe very powerful and very big size. But the little Buddha never disturbed by this thing. So therefore, that is what the teacher is pumping from teacher to the student. You are already with the Buddha nature. Don't talk, don't promote, don't be with that, the lowly kind of people, or lowly kind of ideas. Then your personality will be died out. Be mindful. And mind your own business.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Swaminathan, I think this is one of those suttas that is not very difficult to to understand. It's quite simple and straight to the point.
Specifically, short suttas don't give so much of epithets and examples. Short to the point. They are often with gathas, stanzas. But the gatha, the grammar is not so important. You can cut to the point. You have the poetic license to say. Other sentences, you have to have grammar and presentation and the doer and the action and all the gatha. Gatha is not there. So therefore, Sutta Nipata, is everything is in gatha form. One or two gathas. Sanyutta Nikaya starting with Sagataka Vagga, always have a gatha. Very easy to remember. Out of that only Dhammapada came into being. Gatha. And if you need elucidation, you can read the text. But the gatha and Jataka stories, Buddha's pre, this thing, all are in gathas. But later it expanded into big, big stories in Sri Lankan literature. And gathas are giving only one, two sentences. But other fabrications are very dutiful. When you go to the Vesak day, Vesak pandals, huge electric, this thing, Torana, they are basically on the Jataka stories. And they are nicely fabricated, but based upon single gatha. Sometimes 10 gathas. So likewise, so gatha is one of the ninth way of presentation of the Buddha. Navanga Sattu Sasana, Suttang Geyyang Veyyakvar Karana, gatha iti uttaka. Gatha is a kind of a poetic way of presentation. But you must have proper interpretation. But the interpreters are not meditators. Interpreters are not meditators. Because the meditators can't, they do not have time to write all the kind of thing. So it may be Venerable Sujato, Venerable Bhikkhu Bodhi, or whatever may be. They are doing a great thing in a literature way, literal way. But we are meditators. We are better off thanks to them. So therefore, we must give the due thank, but don't believe it. Everything to be restrained or everything to be rejected. Reject or restrain according to your mental, medical, meditation status.
Is there anyone who would like to make a comment, question, complaint? All right. How about our friends on Zoom? Is there anyone who has a comment?
Zoom, anyone in the Zoom to express views, join the discussion?
Oh, sorry, Bhante. No, nobody is from this side, Bhante.
Thank you, Kumar. So it is, supposed to stop at 9:30, now it is 9:37. If there are no any comments, we can wind at this moment to be prepared for the Pindapath. If there are any, still we can have few minutes.
All right, I suppose then we can wind up. May our relatives and all deities share in the merits accrued from today's teaching. May all celestial beings protect the Dhamma exposition and the Sasana for a long time. And may the seeds that we have received today grow, producing path, fruition, and Nibbana. Now let us chant the traditional Pali verses for the sharing of merits.